हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So this is the next installment from the Sri Govinda Lilamrita, subtitled The Day in the Life of Radha Krishna, by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. We are studying the morning pastimes, and this excerpt is called Krishna Enters the Forest. Driving the Surabhi cows before him and attracting the minds of the Brajavasis behind him, Lord Krishna and his friends began to enter the forest. Turning his neck, Lord Hari noticed that his parents and all the residents of Braja, drawn by love for him, were still following him. He then approached them and spoke the following words. My dear mother, please return home at once and do not try to follow me into the forest. If I allow you to follow me, it will be a sin on my part and I will be forced to visit the hellish world. Oh, my father, please return to Braja village at once. It is not possible for the boys to play ball games if you grown-ups are always hovering about. Oh, mother, these Surabhi cows are hungry and thirsty. They need to be taken into the forest to pasture and to eat and drink. Because I have stopped, they must also stop and wait, craning their necks and lifting their faces to see what is the delay. Mother Yashoda then said to her son Krishna, at midday, I shall send a nice lunch. Eat your lunch, and then at day's end, quickly return home. Lord Krishna replied to her, if you too cheerfully return home and prepare my lunch, then I will be able to eat something and return home. But if you do not return to cook, I shall not have any lunch. Using their bodies, minds, and words, Lord Krishna's parents attempted to protect him with various charms and amulets. Agitated with love for him, they repeatedly kissed him and embraced him, moistening him with tears and milk. They continuously gazed at his face, scorched by the rising sun of imminent separation from Krishna. His beloved gopis thirstily drank the nectar of the ocean of Lord Krishna's beauty. The lotus flowers of their eyes were thus sprinkled with drops from the waves of that ocean. After thus speaking to his unhappy parents, who longed to leave Braja village and follow their son, Lord Nandana entered the forest. The eyes and other senses of the Brajavasis were all fixed on the form of Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna entered the forest, all the Brajavasis immediately disappeared from his sight, thinking, Krishna is now entering the forest and abandoning us. residents of Vraja then became depressed. Stunned, they appeared like motionless pillars. When handsome Lord Krishna entered the forest, the flowing rivers of the gopis began to wither and dry up. The lotus flowers of the gopis' eyes began to wilt, and the bumblebees of the gopis' eyes became extremely restless. The swan of the gopis' lives began to flounder in the rising mud of separation from Lord Krishna. The voracious chili birds of Lord Krishna's eyebrows devoured the saffery fishes of the gopis' thoughts. Making a great effort, the Vrajavasis unwillingly returned home, taking the bewildered king and queen of Vraja with them. They returned home, however, with their bodies only and not with their minds, for their minds had followed Lord Krishna into the forest. The leaders of the various groups of gopis had all fainted out of separation from Krishna, and with great effort the gopis were carrying them home. They looked like stone statues riding in various carriages. Radharani became unconscious, and Nukundavali personally took her to the village of Vraja along with the other gopis, who were all very distressed at heart. All the Vrajavasis had fixed their minds on Lord Krishna and were unaware of anything else. Somehow or other, they were able to perform their duties, just as a liberated soul, freed from the body's encagement, may sometimes perform ordinary duties. This next section from Sri Govinda Lilamrita is entitled Jatila Praises Radharani. As they were walking on the path, Kundavali saw agitated Jatila eagerly collecting cow dung. Realizing the emergency nature of the situation, expert Kundavali quickly revived the unconscious Radharani by telling her that they were about to meet Lord Krishna. O noble Jatila, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Here is your lovely daughter-in-law, Radharani. Please protect her so that libidinous Krishna will not even see her shadow on the ground. Because of Radharani's expert cooking, Vraja's Queen Yashoda has given her all different kinds of garments and jeweled ornaments. These limitless, splendid, priceless ornaments cannot be bought even by Indra's wife, Sachi, and their equals cannot be found. Even by searching the entire earth with all of its seas, continents, and islands. Thinking that her daughter-in-law, Radharani, had attained both religious merit and great material wealth, Jatila became enthusiastic to arrange further services to Queen Yashoda, thinking in this way. Jatila spoke the following words, glorifying Srimati Radharani. My child, Come here, come here. I greatly appreciate your good character. I can see you are very chaste and devoted to my son. And, as my daughter-in-law, you are very affectionate to me also. I grant all blessings to you. May all auspiciousness befall you. I can see that you are chaste, saintly, and eloquent. I can see that you protect the good character of the other girls also. I have great faith in you, and for this reason, I am speaking these prayers to glorify you. Paunamasi, who is a great scholar of the Smriti Shastras, has taught us that when a pious woman upholds religious principles, her husband attains great wealth, mastery over many cows, good children, and a long life. For these reasons, my child, I am now advising you to remain always chaste and pure in conduct. Great saintly persons have declared the great truth that by following religious principles, one attains both wealth and sense pleasure. For this reason, my child, if you remain chaste and religious, you will become very wealthy indeed. My son Abhimanyu is very pious, and all his relatives are also pure and faultless. For this reason, my child, I am asking you to uphold the family tradition and dutifully engage yourself in the worship of the sun god. The final section for today. Jatila instructs Radharani to worship the sun god. My dear daughter Radha, please take a copper pot, nice ghee yogurt, and milk from a brown cow. Take food cooked in ghee, a rose, sugar, kumkum, a leaf, and a garland of lotus flowers. Take your friend Akundalata, Gargamuni's daughter, and also take a Brahmin boy, expert at deity worship, to help you. Leave the house and go to the temple to worship the sun god. My dear Lalita, you are strong, mature, and religious-minded. And therefore I am asking you to always accompany your friend Radharani. She should not be left alone under any circumstances. Most of all, I beg you with folded hands, please do not let her catch even the faintest scent of that libertine, that boy of Maharaj Nanda. My dear children, the sky is already full of sunlight. It is growing late. The two of you should therefore pay careful attention to your duty of worshiping the sun god. When Lalita and Nukundalata heard these words, they became very happy at heart. They then spoke the following words to Jatila. O noble lady, please rest assured that we shall diligently discharge the task you have given us. We shall protect your daughter-in-law at every moment. Just as the eyelids and eyelashes are always ready to protect the eyes. When the charming, beautiful gopis drank the honey of Jatila's words, they became intoxicated, and their minds and bodies and minds blossomed with transcendental bliss. Although externally they appeared peaceful and composed, as they followed Srimati Radharani to her house. When Srimati Radharani returned home, she sat down on a couch. With great happiness, her maid servants attended her, washing, drying, and massaging her lotus feet, fanning her, and rendering various other services. Garlanded with many flowers, and accompanied by all the gopis, Sri Narmada Devi collected the results of Rinda Devi's forest flower picking expedition and placed before her mistress, Srimati Radharani, a great host of delicate, blooming Mali, Rangan, Karnikar, Bakula, Amoga, Lata, Saptala, Jati, Champaka, Nagakesha, Lavanga, and other flowers. Taking a needle and thread, Srimati Radharani expertly sewed these flowers into a Vaijayanti garland scented with camphor and Krishna Guru. This garland appeared like a colorful flag to raise above the spires of the palace of amorous love known as the body of Lord Krishna. In order to please the eyes, mind, and moon-like face of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, with her own hands, placed on betel leaves, betel nuts mixed with camphor, cardamom, and jasmine flowers, and scented with deep love from her heart. Then Lalita said to Tulsi, "O Tulsi, find out from Vrinda, Subal, or the other devotees where Lord Hari is now in the forest, and bring him this garland and betel nuts." Following these orders, Tulsi and Kasturika Gopi brought the garland and betel nuts to Lord Hari. Expert Srimati Radharani and her friends then began to cook many wonderful Amritakelis, Karpurkelis, and other wonderful kinds of laddus just to satisfy Lord Krishna's transcendental senses. Even though she had sent her dear friend to find Lord Krishna, and even though she personally remained always immersed in Lord Krishna's service, still the chakora bird of Srimati Radharani was so much filled with longing to see the moon of Lord Krishna's face. She considered every moment away from him to last as long as millions of yugas. Thus ends the fifth chapter of Govinda Lilamrita in the matter of the Lord's morning pastimes.